in the praise, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for Pastor starting this morning, dear Lord, asking for a fresh anointing, dear Jesus, over this day, dear Lord. So as Sandy shares these scriptures and the message that's on his heart, dear Lord, we ask that we receive a fresh anointing for this day. Let us hear with clarity, dear Jesus. Speak to his mind and his heart, dear Lord, as he shares what you have bestowed upon him, dear Lord. Let us receive in a new, fresh manner, dear Lord. Let us interpret it in our spirit, dear Lord, with the boldness of truth, dear Lord, in which it was delivered. We thank you for this day, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my mic. Yeah. Okay, the teens and the little ones can go to class. We do have a class. So if you are under 20, take a hike. I mean, have a good day. Huh? I'm live? All right. Elohim Tov? Oh, y'all sound like y'all not ready. Elohim Tov? Kol Hazman? All right. Praise the Lord. It's very good to see you guys all here. We had a really good Bible study on Wednesday and Thursday. Good to see you. My brother, see you back in the house. And you are, now I know who David is. You, huh? That's Joanna's sister? Oh, okay. Praise God. Welcome. Okay, so we're going to get started here. Let's see. Emma's is here. Danita, how you doing? How's your NFL future superstar? I wish I would have been there. I'd have been going crazy. Okay. We want to thank all of our S4C family all around the world. What God has done with the church as far as expanding what he wants to say to everyone around the world has been an amazing thing. Look at my sister here. Well, how you doing? Good. Thank you so much for all that good stuff you be posting and stuff. Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some of the things why the rapture is about to happen, but it's not my message today. My message is something else. But I want to tell you these are many of the reasons why we really should be rejoicing and happy. It's a great, great time for people who are born again and are part of the church. And we really should be rejoicing, but I don't know if we have enough faith to rejoice in this crazy time, right? But the fact of the matter is, we really should be like throwing a block party and praising God all night. Because this is a great situation that we're in. Everything that the Lord has led us to has shown us that you're in the last days. The world is showing us that we're in the last days. The 120th year, the flood did start, and it did start all the way around the world. So that was a proof. And then in Psalms, all of the Psalms are the song of ascent, but only one, which is Psalms 121, which stands for this year, says the Psalm to ascend. So that was another proof that God says 2021 is the year. Then God, the 120th Psalm to 128th Psalm is a perfect scenario of the tribulation. That was another proof. Then God gave me the real date of the 9th of Av, and that was the 16th to 17th, and it happened. And then the next week, exactly what he said happened. And then now we're waiting for this week. And then there's some other people who are saying, well, I don't think it's going to be till Rosh Hashanah. Rather it is or not, I want you to know this. You are living in the last of the last days, and the church is leaving, and we really should be rejoicing and partying, but you know, you need a little faith to do that. I do my little dance at home, but I can invite you guys over, but I don't know who's ready to dance. But you can wait till you get there. I don't mind. So, but that's not my message for today. My message for today starts with something I have to tell you that links with the study today. And I don't want to say it's about me because that's only really half true. But we'll say a guy came home one night, and he lived in a very fancy building, and he wanted to park his Mercedes-Benz behind the building. He was so proud, he finally bought a Mercedes, and he parked it behind the building, and he saw a sign that said, private, if you park here, you will be towed. He read the sign. And as he's reading the sign, he's thinking, maybe I better find somewhere else to park. Then a guy comes out and he says, hey man, don't worry about it. You can park here tonight because they only don't want people parked here during business hours. And they don't even open till 9 in the morning. And I know you're going to be gone by 7 because I see you every morning. You're out of here by 7. So don't even worry about it. You can park there for tonight. And I'm thinking, okay, he works here, so maybe he knows, right? So how many of you guys know? So the next morning, he gets up, he walks downstairs, he's going to go take a little cruise in his new car, and it's towed. So he's just, well, it's him. He's mad, right? And he's not acting like a Christian at all. And he tries to find out where the car is so he can go get the car. And he gets to the place where the people have the car, and he says, hey, my car got towed last night, and how much does it cost? And then the guy gave him this outlandish number because he figured since he got a Mercedes and he lived in that building, he must have a lot of money. So I said, I'm not paying you that. And he says, well, we can't release a car till you pay it. Then I go, why'd you tow my car anyway? You know I live there, right? And he said, did you see the sign? I said, yeah, I saw the sign, but somebody told me that you don't tow only during business hours. He said, does the sign say that?
Well.
And I said, no, but you... And so we talked for a little while. I got back in my cab and I went home. Well, I was gonna go to the bank and see, get the money together to go get my car, right? Did I say me? Okay. So the fact of the matter is this, I'm there, I'm trying to redeem my car. The car belongs to me, right? The car belongs to me. But because of the violation, it's locked up.
Come on.
Wow.
Okay? And it can't be released until full payment is made.
Yes.
Y'all feel like I'm in a black church. Girl, y'all stop that. All right. So... I'm waiting for the organ and the drums. I'm like, what? I'm looking back. All right. So I'm going to get the money so I can pay for the car. But the guy wants me to know, like, look, bro. He's like, if the sign says this, is telling you the truth. That sign was the truth.
Right.
Whoever told you that you could park there overnight was Satan himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't say Satan, but he was a lie. It was like the same as Adam and Eve, right? I said, don't eat the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else comes along that is not the sign.
Right.
It's not the word of God. And he says, I heard that you can eat the fruit and it's okay because of this and this reason, and you're only going to become gods and blah, 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 blah. So Eve did that. But I found myself in the same situation as Eve because I read the sign.
Yes.
I knew the rule. But someone came to me and gave me a whole nother perspective.
Yeah.
And so now I needed, my car needed redemption. And I have to pay the whole price.
Mm.
And if I don't pay the whole price, the car can't come out of there.
Right.
And once I pay the whole price, the guy will give me a receipt. Now, this is what happened when I finally got the car. I went to the front. I gave the guy all the money. This is after I threatened the whole company. I was like, I'll tell you, I wasn't very Jesus at all that day. I'm from South Central. I was gone. Brain was like, forgot I was an orange. There was no orange juice in me. I was like, pus. It was just crazy. You're a Christian. Christianity should come out, right?
Right.
If you're orange should come out. Well, no Jesus is coming out. So I paid the price. The guy gave me the ticket. I took it to the gate, gave him the ticket. They towed the car to the front outside. Now, who's supposed to have the key? Me. So if I don't have the key, that means it's not my car, because it's not their responsibility to have the key.
Right.
The Lord told me this morning, see, when that happened to you, because God's bringing this all back to my memory this morning, you have the key. And he says, I have the key to life and death. Once I redeem, I have the key to drive it and get it out of there. So God was showing me the redemption process. Redemption means that something has happened that has violated God's law. You're behind prison walls or behind the gates where they're keeping your car. You're behind that gate. You are about to be either sent to the tow to be destroyed or sent somewhere else to be sold if they can't get you out. You understand? So that car needs somebody to come there with the proper funds to be able to pay for its redemption. So the Lord wanted me to know, you haven't just been saved, you've been redeemed.
Yes.
Being saved is one thing, like I can swoop up and pick you out, but redemption cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what God was doing. Listen, God knew your story before you got here.
Amen.
You might say, oh, I'm not that bad of a sinner. I deserve to go to heaven. I'm going to go try and witness to a friend of mine, and I'm just hoping that he realized you're a sinner. Because you might think, you know, I haven't done that many bad things. I'm going to heaven. And the Lord is saying, unless the full payment for your penalties have been paid, you're not going anywhere. Until the redemptive price has been paid, you're not going anywhere, okay? That is what Christ is all about. So you may think that you don't need redemption. You may think that you don't need healing. You may think that you're basically a good person, but God is trying to let you know what he did for you on the cross was necessary.
Yes.
It had to be done, or else none of us gets out of here. He doesn't get a ticket. The key doesn't matter anymore because you have a key with no car. Who cares?
Right.
But he has the key to life and death, and he did what he needed to do to redeem you out of this mess. Okay? You've been tricked all your life. I don't know, the first time I stole something, I think I was six. First time I lied, I remember telling a lie, I was in kindergarten. And so there's something inside of us that leans toward disobedience that we don't know where it came from. But it came from Eve because she saw the sign, she ignored it. Now all of us are in the yard.
Right.
And all of us are waiting for redemption, or we're waiting for redemption. And so since it's been done, you are a byproduct of what has already happened. You need Jesus.
Yes.
I don't know how to say it. Yeah. If Jesus doesn't do what he did, he's only made two places for people to go. People and demons go to either one or two places. There's no Pergamus or whatever they call it, the purgatory. There's none of that. You are either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell if somebody doesn't come and pay the redemptive price.
Right.
And it's up to each and every one of us to accept the redemptive price so that we can get out. So if you don't want to be redeemed, then you have to pay for your own. Now, I think I told a story a long time ago. We're all young, you know, we have a drive to sin. So we're all young. There's a store called Better Foods Market, and they get the new Hostess Twinkies in every now and then, and they got tennis shoes there too. So we would go in the tennis shoe area and put on new tennis shoes and take off our tennis shoes and put them under the thing, and when we'd go to the Hostess thing and we put food in a bag, and then I'd put stuff in my pockets, and then we walk like we're going to the cash register, and then we run out of the store and they can't catch us because we saw the security guard. He was not, you know, tip top shape. So and we had new tennis shoes on.
Right.
So one day one of my friends said, "Hey, Sandman, give me the stuff out of your pocket." And I was like, "No, man, it's my stuff." He said, "I'm gonna give it to you once we get out, but if we get caught, I don't want you to get caught because I know what your mother will do to you."
Wow.
Because the last time she whipped me from 73rd to 76th. So I took all my stuff out of my pocket and I put it in his bag. And then the security guard saw us coming, and he blocked the door and he locked it, and he said, "None of you guys are gonna go sit over there. Those tennis shoes aren't yours." And then he started checking us, and I was like, "I don't have nothing." And he checked me, and I didn't have nothing. And he opened the door and let me out.
Wow.
I was like, "Wow, they're still in there like crying." But I'm like outside, like, yeah, I made it. I made it because someone said, "Let me put your crime in my pocket." Because if you die with your sins in your pocket, you have to pay for them.
Yeah.
So he made a way for me to be innocent by taking all my stuff out of my pocket and putting it in his bag.
Yeah.
He went, he was older kid too, so they like took him to juvie and everything, right? Me, I'm scot-free. So he took my punishment.
Yeah.
This is what Christ did for you. All he wants to do is take everything out of your pocket.
Yes.
I know that you have some sin in your pocket. I want to take it out of your pocket. I want to put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Because once judgment happens, If you have your sin in your pocket, even though you know you had a place to put that, and God provided a way for you to get rid of it, and you didn't do it, you've got to pay for your sins. And this is a big game that we're playing. That's why the redemptive price was so big.
Yeah.
It was a huge price to pay for your sins. You say, well, I haven't done that much. Listen, it's all under the same thing. What are you guilty of? Someone said, I never murdered nobody. I say, yes, you have. It was violent. It wasn't by choice, but it wasn't premeditated, but it was manslaughter.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus died for sin. So if you've ever sinned, Jesus died for you. Did you do it on purpose? It's manslaughter. So since it's manslaughter, the whole world is guilty of manslaughter. Therefore, you need the city of refuge to go to, because if you don't go to the city of refuge, the judgment will come and you will die for your sins. You understand? So it's been provided for each and every one of them, but you don't have to take it, or you can take it. This is the foolishness of the world. Sandy, give me the stuff out of your pocket. No, it's my stuff. I'm keeping it. I'll give it to you when you get out. No, this is my stuff. Listen, I'm trying to help you, little man. If you get caught, your mama gonna whip you for 3 blocks again. Give me the stuff. No. These my tennis shoes. This my food. And I'm keeping it. So they stay in their sins.
Yeah.
Yes.
They stay in their sins. Why? It wasn't difficult. All you had to do is transfer the items.
Yeah.
It's simple, huh? Sometimes people accept Christ and they don't even realize how simple it was. One guy in prison, he accepted Christ. I said, man, you want to accept Christ right now? You know, he's a hardcore gangster. I'm in there. I'm in a prison like chaplain. And he said, yeah. And I said, you sure you want to do it now? And there was all these guys in the room. So he said the prayer and he asked for repentance and he said the prayer. Then he started crying and he says, now I'm saved. But he was mad because he was crying in front of the other guys. But he said, am I saved now? I said, yes. Now we just going to get the thing and we're going to baptize you. He said, I didn't know it was that simple. It is simple. God didn't make getting saved hard. You don't have to climb a tree, dive off a hill. You don't have to go down to the bottom. You don't have to do any of that. Getting saved is you agreeing with God that you're in violation, you have stuff in your pocket, and you need to put it in Jesus' pocket.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Or you can pay for it on your own, okay? Amen. Now, this Bible study begins at Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 6. Hallelujah.
Do you need
your
board?
No, I don't need the board. Why am I preaching about this today? As God says, I want you to tell people how to get saved, because even if they get saved right before the rapture, I'll take them.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. He said, even if they get saved right before the rapture, I'll take them.
Yep.
And so the Lord said, you got to tell them that this is not a hard thing. This is coming in agreement with God saying that you are who you are. Everything has to be paid for. Weed smoke has to be paid for. Fornication has to be paid for. Lying has to be paid for. Stealing has to be paid for. So either you're going to pay for it, or you're going to let the price that Christ has already done, you're going to let him take it out of your pocket and pay for that himself. You're going to let him, allow him to redeem you. You in Jeremiah chapter 32? Okay. I'm going to try to read it from two different books here, and I have mine in my. Okay, are you in verse 6? It says, Jeremiah 32. Oh, here it is. Okay, verse 6. And it said, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, Hananiah, son of Shallum, your uncle is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as the nearest relative, meaning like a kinsman redeemer, it is your right and duty to buy it. Now, I read that, and you guys, because, and I love that I make people study harder, because you got to see if what I said is true. He says, behold, Hanamiel, that is God's graciousness. That's what his name means, God's graciousness. The son of Shallum, which it means retribution. Okay? So, the God of graciousness is about to do something about what? Retribution. I had to pay retribution before. It has to be paid, or you got to move back to California. That's another of my story. See, I'm telling you, I got saved out of some stuff, right? So it says, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is at Anathoth, which is the answer to prayer. So God's graciousness for retribution is his answer to prayer. What's he asking him to do? For the right of redemption is yours to buy it. So God is telling the answer to the prayer, which is Jesus, you have the right to redeem the land and the people because they are behind the fence. Because of sin, they're behind the fence. All of them are behind the fence. You, gracious, the graciousness of God has sent for retribution the answer to prayer, which is Jesus. And he says, go and buy the field. Go and buy it. He said, because you have the right to redeem it. So, it says, so Hananiah, my uncle, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, buy my field, I pray thee. This is Anathoth, which is the country of Benjamin. So the answer to prayer, he's answering the prayer for the sons of the right hand. Everybody who's going to be the son of the right hand of God, the born again people, the answer to prayer is about to purchase your redemption. Okay? And God is telling Jesus, you can do this.
Yeah.
Because you have the redemption rights, because you're the closest as a relative. Then it says, I pray thee that Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, which is son of my right hand, for the right of the inheritance is yours, and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I know that this was the word of God. So God is telling Jesus, go and purchase it. Buy it for yourself. It can all be yours, but you have to go and pay the purchase price. Now listen, you guys know this, your students. Underneath the what you call the sign Libra, okay, and which it doesn't really exist because in Hebrew it's not called Libra, it's called a purchasing scale, okay? And that star constellation is in the sky. You know what's underneath that star constellation? The Southern Cross. Did you know the cross was one of the constellations? See, they only tell witchcraft people there's 12 of them, but there's actually 48 of them, okay? There's 48 constellations, and one of them is a purchasing scale, which you call Libra, which God calls the purchasing scale. Underneath the purchasing scale is the cross. So that means, and that was put there on the fourth day of creation, so God already knew what the price it was going to take to redeem you. What's the price for a bride? The cross. And Christ still came. Knowing what was going to happen, he still came. Why? Because he knew He's not going to grow up in the best neighborhood. He's going to be a jacked up person by the time he's 12. He's going to need the cross. This guy's going to need, she's going to need the cross. Because she's going to be real cute, and then boys going to love her, and then she's just going to fall away, and then she's going to need a redemptive process to not only do that, but heal her from all the stuff that happened to her. She is going to need that, right? So Christ is thinking about your redemption on the fourth day of creation when he puts the constellation. They're going to need the cross for redemption. And he agrees to come and pay for it. And he doesn't make it hard. He makes it simple. Anybody that ends up in Hades is stubborn. Because that is foolishness.
Amen.
Okay? Let me continue reading. And it says, he says, and I bought the field of Hananamael and my uncle that was in Anathoth and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels. Why 17? Talking about Jesus. And I saw the light, and I saw the light. He created the light. Let there be light. And God saw the light, and he said that it was tov. Good. You know what good is? 17. He saw the light, and he saw the light was Christ. And he said, it's good. Okay? So Christ is the one that is redeeming. It's going to cost 17 shekels of silver. What is silver for? Blood. So he knows that Christ knows that this is going to be a blood redemption. And it says, and I subscribed the evidence and sealed it. You hear that? He subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witness and weighed him for the money in the balance. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and the custom, and that which was open. I gave the evidence of the purchase to Baruch, the son of Nerah, right? And that's the blessed son of light. And I gave the purchase deed to him, right? The son of Messiah, which basically kind of is the Messiah, but in a different form. And it says, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son, and the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. So people are sitting there and they can verify that he purchased it. So he goes and he purchases it, he seals it, and he makes sure everybody sees him purchase it. And that's what Christ did. The world saw him purchase it. The world saw what he did. But listen what he tells them. He says, and I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidence, the evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. So he put them in a secret place, and he hid them away, and he said, leave it there, because after many days, I'm going to need my purchase deed. People are going to need to know that I paid the price. You understand? And so here we are, surviving, about to go to heaven, because someone knew that we were behind the fence and that we had violated, but they wanted to redeem us. So we've been purchased, we've been bought with what? The blood of Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Before we get to... How are we doing on time, Pastor Ben?
15 minutes.
Ooh, child. Here we go. Isaiah 53. Now watch this. I want to tell you this before I go there. Let me see. I forget what chapter it is before this, but let me tell you something that is not mentioned in Isaiah 53. Earlier in this book, it says that Christ, after they had beat him, that they snatched the hairs out of the face, out of his face. Now, Greg has a big beard, so I don't know how it feels for somebody to snatch your beard out of your face, but this happened to Christ. He knew about this before he came. He knew that was going to happen before he came. He knew the cross was going to happen before it came. Okay? So I'm just saying, the purchase price for you, God already knew it was heavy. God created human beings. He know what pain is.
Right.
Yes, yes. He made the nerves. He knows what's going to happen. That's why Christ was in the garden and he's sweating before it happens, asking God, if there's any way we can change this, put your will over mine.
Yeah.
But he's letting them know, I know what's about to happen. But the purchase price is about to be paid. And so you have to understand it. So Isaiah says, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who's believed the message? Because you have the right to believe it, or you have the right to reject it. That's the difference between you and a car. God bless a car. No brains, purchase, get me out, it leaves. No thinking happens. But humans are intelligent. And we can figure out that there was nothing wrong. I didn't need redemption. I work. I am a dad. I bring home the check. I've only cheated on my wife once, and we worked it out. And you know, I drink a little, but you know, of course I curse a little bit, but only when I'm angry. And we are intelligent. We're not just like, I can purchase you and then just pull you out. We can justify who we are. I justify that I'm okay. God says, who has believed the report? Okay? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. Meaning Christ grew up before God like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities. That means he died for your sicknesses and our sorrows. That means all the bad things that happened to you in your life, all your sorrows, he can heal those because he died for them.
Yes.
We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Have we not?
Yes.
If you're perfect in here, you don't have to agree. But we all like sheep have gone astray.
Yes.
So you need redemption. God is trying, oh my goodness. Listen. God told me that there are going to be people who claim Christianity before the tribulation, that people are going to knock on their door and pull them out of their house and take them for execution. And what they will say to themselves is, how did it get to this situation? How did I end up in the tribulation? How is it that they're telling me I have to worship a beast and take a mark or else I gotta die? How did this all happen? Why are people killing each other to protect the Antichrist? What is going on? How did I get in this situation? And the answer from God will be choice. You had a choice. You can either believe or not believe. You can either accept or not accept. You can either live in sin or not live in sin. But God says, nobody will be in the tribulation unless they chose.
Yeah.
You have to choose. You have to say, God won't mind. You have to say that. And you have to believe it because you're intelligent. You're not like a car. Yes. Let's continue. Amen. So it says here, we all of sheep have gone astray and turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in death. Though he had done no violence, nor any deceit in his mouth. So the man was innocent. He hadn't done anything. No sin, but he's there for what purpose? To redeem. Punch me as many times as you want here. I'm here to redeem. Pull my beard out if you want. I'm here to redeem. Nails in my right hand, fine. I'm here to redeem. Nails in the other hand, I'm here to redeem. Nails in my feet, okay, who cares? I'm here to redeem. And then he says to the apostles, don't you know that I could call my father and he would send thousands of angels and they would rescue me if I wanted to? So you gotta understand something. He was doing this on purpose. Don't know about beating up Christ. Christ was like, I'm doing this on purpose. You know why? Because you might not have a dad and you might be jacked up by you 12. Uh-huh. Because you're so cute, all the guys are going to like you, and then you're going to be messed up by 17. So God knew the situation and the world we were going to live in, so he not only redeemed us, but he made it to come to him.
Yeah.
This is how I came to Jesus. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you for, tell you that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe that he rose from the grave. I repent, Father God, today of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. And then I opened my eyes, and you know who heard that? Heaven. Heaven heard that. Everything changed. And it says that the Spirit came and resided inside of you, whether you felt it or not. You don't have to fall to the ground to get the Spirit.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
And the Spirit came to reside inside of you to do what? To talk to you about stupid stuff. So when you do stupid stuff, it goes, let's not do that.
Amen.
And you go, wow, I never felt like that before. I never felt guilty about smoking weed before. What is that? It's the Spirit inside of you.
Right.
You curse somebody out. I cursed somebody out 2 weeks ago. I didn't feel nothing. Now the Spirit's like, you shouldn't talk like that. It's not godly. Don't do that. And now you got a conscience. And you're wondering what happened. And the Spirit is living inside. You know what God's called you? A new creature.
Yes.
Not you new because you stopped cursing. Not you new because you stopped smoking weed. Not you new because of all this. Because some of us, after we accept Christ, it takes a little while to stop smoking weed. And I'm not talking, I mean that other guy. Right? So I'm saying, but the Spirit is in you. Because he's molding you so that you be more and more like Christ.
Yeah.
So you're a new creature, whether you're living up to it right away or not. The Spirit is working inside of you. Your job is to just stay in Christ, stay in relationship.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish, Pastor Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it says, it was the Lord's will to crush him. It was God's will that these things happen.
Yeah.
To crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, see all your guilt, that means once you sin and you ask for forgiveness, God says, okay, get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as guilt in God. You understand? You know, you say, oh, I shouldn't have did it all. Okay, you shouldn't have did it. I forgive you. Go back to work.
Right.
God. Let me just say that. God. You a Christian? I'm all day. I just feel so bad about what I just did. I don't know if I can live with my... Shut up. I forgive you. God is in heaven. Be quiet. I forgive you. Let's get back to work. There's other people that need to be saved.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. I died with a guilt offering already paid for. Okay?
Amen.
So get back to work.
Amen.
6 minutes. He will see his offspring prolong, his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, that's his emotions. Remember, he lost all his friends.
Yeah.
There's some emotional stuff going on. So that means he died for your emotions too. So he can heal your mind from sorrow and from emotional pain. It says, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By the knowledge of my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. The strong is us. He will divide the spoil with us. He's coming back, and you're going to reign and rule with him. Because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and finish this off. Watch this. Because we about to go rapture, and we're going to be gone, and we're going to be dancing, and there's going to be thousands upon thousands of angels on the left and on the right. Some of our mamas will be there, and my mama could dance. I still don't know if I'm going to be able to beat my mama dancing, but my mama could dance. Now, understand, listen what happens. In chapter 4, the rapture happens. He hears a voice. John hears a voice. He said, come up here. Now the world hears a trumpet. The Apocrypha says the whole world will hear it. They will hear a trumpet. Know what you will hear? A voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
It will sound like a trumpet, but it will be a voice. Come here, and you'll be. Put your hands in there. Hey, put your hands in there. Hey, that'll be like that, right?
Yeah.
So what's ahead of us is beautiful and it's coming. But somebody had to pay for it.
Amen.
And if you don't appreciate when somebody does something for you, then you're a sorry person.
Amen. Amen.
Because if I go out of my way to do something for you, like dying on the cross, and you don't appreciate that, what else can I do for you? Okay. Now watch this. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, John is in heaven, and look what he sees. He says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Where did this scroll and its seven seals come from? Did we just read in Jeremiah? Go purchase the land. Go pay for it. Put it in a vessel and put it away for many days. until the rapture. In heaven, he gets that scroll back. Of what? He proof that the land was purchased, proof that the people were purchased. Here it is, it's the scroll, but nobody is worthy to open it.
Yeah.
But he says, wait, Jesus, the lion, the Lamb of God, he's worthy to open the scroll. Because if you don't know, that's how they purchase land. And then they put it in a scroll or a seal, and they would put seals on it. And if the only person who could open it had to be the person who purchased it. If someone opened it and they didn't purchase it, and it found out that you opened a seal that it didn't belong to you and you didn't purchase it, then you could die under penalty.
Wow.
So this is why they're in heaven and they're like, he's crying because there's nobody here that can open the scroll. And people are like, I'm not opening, I didn't pay. Angel's like, nope, I didn't pay for that. I'm not opening it because no angel died for your sin.
Right.
Buddha ain't there and he didn't pay.
Right.
Muhammad is there, he didn't pay.
He ain't there.
Mm-hmm. Lot of false religions didn't pay.
Right.
Remember this. If you don't pay the purchase price for the redemption, they don't give you a ticket and you can't get the car.
Right.
You have to be able to be, to prove that you paid. Jesus has the proof that he paid.
Yeah.
There's no other religious mumbo jumbo you people are trying to believe in that can show you the receipt and say, yeah, but I paid.
Uh-huh. Yes. Amen.
Jesus is saying that. It says, then I saw the Lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. Where are we at already?
Heaven.
In heaven.
Yeah.
Singing a new song. This is the song we sing. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God, and they will reign on earth when he comes back. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. Who's going to be at our weddings? Many angels. I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 upon 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elder and in a loud voice saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Be praised and honor, glory, power forever and ever. Now listen, you guys. Hebrews says we're going to a wedding, but it won't be like the wedding they had in Egypt. He says you're going to a heavenly wedding where there will be thousands upon thousands of angels surrounding you rejoicing. This has been the plan since the beginning of time. This whole 6,000 years, God has written this out. And God has made a way for all of us to have eternal life and be a part of this great day. But a person has to accept it. A person has to believe it. A person has to, he says, life and death is on what? from the tongue. Why? Because God wants to hear you ask him.
Yes.
Think that I want to marry you. I want to hear you ask.
Right.
God wants to hear you ask him to be a part of your life. Then he will come in. God is very, that's a gentleman right there.
Yeah.
I'm not asked when you ask. So God wants you to ask, because the power of life and death is in your mouth.
That's right.
So when I confessed that, then after I went and got baptized, then I was like, went home and everything was new. Did I become perfect? No. Did I become a brand new creature? Yes. God wants you to be a new creature, because when he comes, he's looking for new creatures. People that have taken all the stuff out of their pocket, put it in Jesus' pocket, and walk out of the store free and happy.
Yeah.
No whipping.
No whipping.
It's a beautiful thing. Believe me. I was there. It was a beautiful day for me. You understand? And a rapture can be a beautiful day for you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like Pharaoh and let God's people go, Pastor. That's it.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
All right.
Amen. Beautiful.